perfectionist, and we're not, don't look at anybody. But if you're a perfectionist, man, everything's got to be perfect, and you get all bound up, you try to bind everybody else up. That can be, and then sometimes people get in paralysis for failure because they're afraid if they do it wrong, they're going to fail. And I've learned this. I failed a lot of times, but failure a lot of times drives you to being successful, doesn't it? Because you try something again, and you. I think the only failure is not to rise back up. I mean, it's okay. You get knocked off the horse. What do they tell you to do? Sell the horse. That's not what they say, is it, Lenore? They say, get back on it. Try it again, Bubba. And unless you're a girl, then you're a Bubette. Okay, so what is it about failure that we're so afraid of? Well, I think what we're really afraid of is that we're going to fail. Because some of us might have thoughts of being in school and you got a paperback and it had a red mark on it. And it didn't have a little smiley face or an A. It had an F. Don't raise any hands. And it meant, you need to do more work. You need to wake up. You need to repeat this test. You need to repeat this school, this grade or something. So fear is just a powerful thing. And look at this slide that just came up, fear there. I love that. What happens when fear comes all on you and fear paralyzes and fear overwhelms you? What do you need to do with fear? You need to give it to God. Say, God, this is my failure. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I might not succeed. I'm afraid I might not make the mark. I'm afraid I won't get into that school. I'm afraid I won't be able to do this. God, I'm afraid I won't get that job. I'm afraid I won't have the confidence to keep the job. God, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And God's like, I got that. Give it to me. So today we're just talking about that. Here's the one that I hated. I love math. I mean, I love numbers. Don, I tell you, I really love numbers and have been pretty good with them. I like to teach about good financial stewardship, and that comes easy to me. And when I sit on boards, I usually want me to be on the finance team, and I like that. But accounting and numbers, I understand well. But when you get into higher math and they start adding letters with numbers, that don't mix in my brain. Why don't we just use numbers? I get numbers like algebra and higher math. How many of you just love that? That just made you salivate. You just thought it was thrilling. God help you. No, God help me. And I got in trouble because of higher math. But here we go. Here's another thing. You might have failure. Might be a job interview. You're scared that you're not going to do well in the interview. Maybe bankruptcy. Maybe a failed pregnancy and there's failure there. Maybe a divorce. Maybe I don't know what the failure might be. But when failure comes, it's heavy and it's daunting. And it tends to squeeze us. It tends to push us down. So a lot of times with failure, if we don't give it to God completely and don't leave it with Him, sometimes a failure can stick with you for years. Do I have a witness? Sometimes a failure, because, you know, we have an enemy. And what does he do to you? He lies to you. He tries to get inside your head. He tries to tell you. Like, I got to tell you guys, I've been a pastor now 42 years. What a humble opportunity. But I got to tell you, sometimes Satan will do such a number on me. He goes, you don't even get up. You don't need to get up and preach anymore. You don't need to do that. What are you talking about? And he'll get in my head. He'll start messing with me. And I go, hey, I don't submit to you, Bubba. I'm not yielding to you. I'm yielding to Jesus. I'm going to follow out God's calling in my life. And the church said. And that's what you got to do. So we all know what it is to have failure, to not have failure. You're saying, well, I don't know anything about failure, but I got friends that fail. Well, I think everybody fails at some point. But failure, as I said a minute ago, it makes us overwhelmed. It makes us unsure. Our strength, our security tends to go out. Theodore Roosevelt, the president, said this: the only man who never makes a mistake is the man that never does anything. I got lots of failures, and I've had a lot of successes. And all the successes, I give praise to God. All the failures maybe made me get back up and try something else. You remember George Washington Carver? All the uses that he found for what? Peanuts. And Thomas Edison, you know how many times he failed? He failed so many times trying to discover electricity. I mean, I wonder how many times he got shocked. I don't know. But he kept trying. And people that fail, they tend to get back up. They tend to overcome their mistakes. And part of humanity is just failure. And failure is okay. I mean, when you fail something and you determine in your mind and your heart to get back up, you're usually stronger. And you're usually better. Maybe you're more dependent. Maybe you're more prayerful. How many of you prayed a lot when you took tests in school? I mean, you know, as long as we're going to have tests, there's going to be prayer in school. People say, there's not prayer in public school. There is, too. I know a lot of dumb students. And I know a lot of smart students. And you pray. I mean, I think about in this room, people that have taken professional exams in schools. The other day we were on our board meeting, and somebody's son's taking the PE, the professional engineering exam. It's brutal. It's an 8-hour test. You got people that go for their CPA, and they pass parts of it, and they fail parts of it. And they're very bright. They've already got an accounting degree. Now you have to get a master's to be able to sit for your CPA. And you, they can give up, but most of them don't. They go, nope, I'll just try again. I'll study. I'll work. How many of you are glad that your doctor didn't just give up the first time he failed a course or something? Hey, next time you go to the doctor, you want to have an interesting conversation? Ask him or her if they ever failed anything in school. Now, you might not want to know. Maybe don't ask them that question. Because I'm glad on degrees they don't put your grades. Classes you did good in, classes you did bad in. Anyway, fail. So failing is an opportunity to hand my mistakes over to God. But you know what? When we do that, God hands something back to us. You know what God hands back to me and you? Righteousness. His love. His mercy. I think it's an incredible thing that God gives us. So as I look at this, I think about how we fumble, how we have a hard time. Like, all right, here's a failure. Everybody I know has probably failed at this if they've ever had to, unless they've got a metabolism that's not fair. If you've ever been on a diet, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever failed? Amen. And sometimes people lose lots of weight, and then they what? And then they gain that plus 20 back. Last night I'm on the airplane flying home, and I look over, and somebody that had been in our student ministry and her sister was real active. Matter of fact, her sister and that husband, I did their wedding, and she's now a professional coach. She's a coach helping people get fit and all this. And her and her daughter were coming back from some cruise because she finished at the top of her thing, and she was, you know, she's all into this stuff. But it was just interesting. I just think about how many times people try to lose weight, they try to do something, and they fail. Well, you know, try again. Say, God, help me. What if I fail? Well, you might fail. And then sometimes when we fail, we blame it. You ever blame anybody when you fail? That's a dumb teacher. That's why I fail. That's somebody's fault. Well, I think we got to take responsibility when we fail. So here's the whole premise today. I want you to be unafraid of failure, because failure, I think, can drive you to the heart of God. It really do. Like, have you ever failed in controlling your temper? You're like, God, I want to be a person that is compassionate and caring, and I don't want to lose my cool. And then you get tested, and what happens? You say something you wish you hadn't said. Maybe your temper is short fuse. Man, run to Jesus. Take that to him. Find scriptures to meditate to renew your mind. I mean, I'm just thinking of things that God wants us to do to try to help us when we have a hard time. You know, over the years, I've dealt with so many people, and they've said, I have an addiction problem. I have a drinking problem. I have a drug problem. I failed at being sober. And in this church right now, right below us, they have an AA meeting that meets all the time. There's a basement, right? Some of y'all have found it by mistake when you've come in and you walk through down there. And they meet. Because, you know, they don't want to meet out maybe out in the light or anybody. Maybe who's coming or going. It doesn't matter who's coming or going. All I know is they're going for help. They're going for community. They're going for life. They want to overcome and they want to live a sober life. And the church said, amen. Here's one. You ever said, God, I want to stop lying. And the very next person you talked to, you told them a lie. Don't raise your hand. Okay. Here's one. You ever failed to love your children? Probably. You ever failed to love your neighbor? Absolutely. You ever failed to love your spouse? Yes. Have you ever failed to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yeah. And you know what I love about our Father? What does He do? He invites us to open arms to come back. I was reading a verse the other day in my quiet time in Hosea, and it was a beautiful picture. It says, God pulls us up next to His cheek. And it made me think about dining on our grandkids. I love it when I hold them right here. And they maybe reach over and give you a little peck on the cheek, or and you get close. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And you think about how beautiful it is with a kid or a grandkid, how much greater it is with Abba, Father, that He wants to hold you so tender, and He wants to embrace you in your failures, in your victories. Aren't you glad? When you have a victory, aren't you glad you can tell God and give Him praise for what He's done? Amen. But how about when you fail? Isn't it great that you've got a guy that said, heaven shut, ain't listening to you, you failure. I find that's when the Father draws me back, invites. So we can't go along here without that. You know what I find out? I need a Savior. Do I have a witness? I need Jesus. You need Jesus. So when you fail, you run to Him. I think He can help us. So today, man, it's weird. I have my iPad. I got all these sheets of papers that are kind of just up here. I'm like, man, what is it? Where's my iPad? Well, it's you know what it is? Right now, it says cloud is full, and it's just spinning. Dadgum demonic device. All right, let's keep going. All right, here we go. So, Lord, we want to trust you. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find this. Hey, I gave you a teaching guide when you came in or something. I didn't give it to you. I just prepared it, but somebody gave it to you. Look at it there. Look at James 3:2, right there at the very top of your teaching guide. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. I want you to circle the word all. That means the person sitting next to you. That means the person sitting behind you. It means the person laying in the bed right now. It means all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. But I want you to underline, we all make many mistakes. Now, I don't want you to make them on purpose, but we make them and we have an advocate with the Father. Look at the message question. What if we could redefine success to include inevitable failure? God, I'm going to fail. I know that's part of my DNA of who I am. But I want to redefine it. I don't want to redefine failure as being a loser. I don't want to define failure as there's nothing good in me. There's nothing that I can accomplish. It just means I need to rise up in the strength and the power and the presence of Christ. Look at the message truth right there in that box. One reason the fear of failure haunts me is because we think our worth is tied to our performance. Let's stop right there. Circle the word performance. Have you ever got on a performance trap before? It's like a hamster on a wheel. You ever watch hamsters and gerbils on wheels? They just work, and they spin, and they don't ever go anywhere. It's like you sitting on your front porch on a rocking chair and you rock, but you don't ever make any, you don't do anything. And you're performing. It looks ludicrous. Well, here it is. If your worth's tied to performance, what happens when you don't perform? What happens when you fail? Well, you don't find yourself with your identity in Christ. But God, look at this. But our identity, there's a key word. Identity is in Christ. He tells us a different story. In Him we're redeemed, forgiven, loved and appointed. Our failures, past, present, and future, do not define us. But guess what defines us? Is children of the Most High God, His grace. I think a guy here the other day preached about grace. I think his name was John Klein. Anybody remember him? Yeah. God's grace defines us, not our failures. And somebody here said, man, I don't need to hear that. Somebody said, man, Pastor, that's the only reason I came, man. I needed that word because I failed this week at that. I failed my kids. I failed at work. I failed in some relationship. God, you know, Pastor, I just failed. And so today, I'm praying that you're not going to walk out of here condemned. You're going to walk out of here forgiven in Jesus Christ, looking at Him being your identity, and say, God, help me in my failures. Matter of fact, I like this. Flip it over here. I want you to see this. Here it is. First one, first blank coming up, redefine failure. You gotta redefine it. See, the world will define failure for you, but let God define failure in your life, you know? So the world's definition is failure is the end of a dream. Failure is missing out. Failure is losing. But that's not what God says about it. The Bible tells us when we fail, we rise up. And we run to Jesus. We rise up. We keep going. Matter of fact, I've read about some failures in the Bible as I've been reading the Bible for the last 46 years. And there's a lot of mishaps, missteps, and failures in the Word of God. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Hey, let's name some today. Name some of the failures that you read about in Scripture that you can identify with, or they give you hope because they're not perfect, but they do rise up in the grace of God. Give me some failures. The top one, the man after God's own heart. David's a colossal failure. He shouldn't even be in there, the loser. That's not right. He's anointed of God. He got it right, but he was a failure. Boy, y'all are all quick on that, man. David, bunch of women calling out men. Let's call out a woman. No, I'm kidding. All right, so David was a failure. Give me another. Peter, oh, my goodness. See, Patrick. Me identify with Peter. Okay. No. Peter, David, Jonah. Oh, my goodness. Ninevites, Samson, Moses. Who else? He was maybe the biggest. Judas was a failure. Who else? Eve. Who said that? See, woman back there said Eve. I thought it was Dan was throwing his voice, but Dan's sitting right here in front of me. Okay. She said Eve. All right. Eve's a failure. Give me another one. How about Gideon? How about Jeremiah? How about Peter? We talked about him. How about Paul? How about Mary? That's not a singing group. All right. Some of y'all got that. Okay. I thought that was funny. Some of you got it. Like, all right. So there's lots of failures in the passages of Scripture, and God wants us to overcome. So here we go. So if you're attempting something for God and the strength of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're on a good track. All right. 2 Timothy 4:7. Hear God's word. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. But I finished, and I kept it, and I fought in the passion and the strength of Christ. So you and I have got to keep fighting through failure. Like, I don't know what it is. You're like, man, you're passionate about this. But somebody's going to fail this week. Maybe all of us are going to fail in some big ways, little ways. You know, you like it when you fail in a little way because it seems like the consequences aren't so big. But when you fail in a big way, sometimes when we fail, it costs people around us that love us, doesn't it? And it impacts their life. So God, help us not to be failures. But when we do fail, help us to rise up with your grace and your leadership. All right, look at the second one. Replace my fear with faith in Christ. Just replace the fear that you have, because we've all got fears, some more than others. But put it faith in Christ. That woman, I couldn't even talk to the woman last night. I'm telling you guys, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I'm around people all the time, but I really, I wish April and Zach had been on the plane with me last night. She needed medication. She needed help. I mean, I get on the plane and she's doing this. I didn't know if she was going through menopause or what was going on. You know, she's going nuts and, I'm like, what? And then she just kept freaking out. And then she started like calling friends. She started calling, I think the plane's going to go down. I'm like, man, you know. And man, she is. It was just crazy. I said, you okay? You're like, oh, man. And all I knew, I just started, Jesus, help this woman. Help her, Lord. Give her the peace of Jesus. I just kept praying and praying. And then they came over to the plane and said, we don't think we're going to land. We think we're going to go back to Atlanta. And then she lost it. And then and we were doing good. And then about probably 75 miles out, it got real turbulent on that plane. And for a millisecond, I got a little bit of fear. I've been sitting next to the queen of fear, and I'm thinking, wow, we might go down. And Donna won't know till tomorrow. She's asleep, you know. But then it levels out. We land, you know. I'm thinking, praise the Lord, and I'm all calm. And then I walk outside, and it's flooding. I'm like, well, hey, this is better than going down, you know. Anyway, so here. So, but it was about faith in Christ. Jesus, I trust you. You are peace. You're in the peace in the midst of storms. And it was a physical storm, but how about in an emotional, relational, a financial, a physical storm? Jesus is your faith in him. In this room, we've gone through so many physical storms, and the church said, man, just this morning, Debbie was talking about somebody dear to her, and a storm they're going through, and I think about, you know, I walk up to any one of you on the weekends, if somebody you're talking about a storm in their life or their family's life or their friend's life. And it's just part of life. It's inevitable that it's going to happen, and we're afraid that might grip us, it might take us out. And we just need to know, God, you love us. So we replace our fear with faith in the Savior. Like, so Jesus, help us to run to you. I love that. The person is Christ. Here would be the thought. Write it down. Lord Jesus, take control. You're able. You're master. That's what I was praying last night. Lord Jesus, just take control. That's what I try to pray all the time. Lord Jesus, take control. This morning when the iPad was spinning with the wheels of death, and I went, oh my goodness, help me, Jesus. And then I just like, Lord, take control. You got a word for the church. I've studied. I've prepped. I'd be better if I had that. It's a little easier to flow. But Lord, I know you love your people. Help me feed your sheep. And Jesus, you're faithful. You know he's a faithful God, is he not, church? Right. I love it. Listen to what Matthew 9:29, write it down. Jesus says to two blind men, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. What kind of faith do you have? That's a great question. Do I have great faith? That song we sang toward the end with Nicole, what did it talk about? With Jesus, some things are possible. all things. Do you believe that? Oh, I'm sitting there looking at you, Corey. I'm looking at your sweet mama. Love Nancy. Man, I love that woman. Man, she's had some challenges. She's had some joys. She's had some victories. And she just keeps her eyes on Jesus. She keeps walking. She keeps being a light to so many of us. We love her. And Nancy said, don't make me immortal. Hey, man, you know, sometimes I get shook up. I called her one day. She goes, I cried a little bit. Well, that's okay. How many of y'all cry sometimes? Yeah. And Jesus collects your tears in a bottle. I don't know what he's going to do with them, but he collects them. I like that. It just shows me he's a Savior that is concerned. Yeah. I mean, we'll keep going. We could have stopped there and just go, Lord, you know, I'm going to blow it. I need help. I don't know what you're going to do. So, Jesus, help us place our life in your hands and let you take control. And, Lord, you declare me innocent from hidden faults. Look at the next one here quickly. Redirect your thoughts. You're in a failure cycle. You have failed. Your thoughts get misaligned. And God wants us to give our thoughts to him. 1 Peter 5:7-9. I want you to hear God's word declared over you. And I want you, but I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to receive it. Hey, I want you to put your hands out like this. I want you to receive God's word. Receive this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Did you know that this morning Christians all over the world can identify with us and they're struggling? And some of them are struggling, wondering, will I have lunch today? Will my baby be able to get medicine? Will I be able to have a place to lay my head down tonight? And Patrick would tell us, that's just not around the world. That's right here in Montgomery. I mean, last night, as much as I didn't like the discomfort of getting wet and all that, I had a dry home to go home to. I had some dry clothes to put on. Praise God. What if I hadn't had that? You're saying, wow, Keith, new look at it. I got to redirect my thoughts. I like this story. You like sports. Michael Jordan, most famous basketball player. I remember seeing him in the 80s in Chicago. That was fun. And listen to this. He, you know, well, I thought this was pretty cool. He had an incredible percentage of field goals. 497. Almost half his shots he made. An incredible basketball player. But it was just under 50%, so it meant that he has a little less than a 50% chance of making shots. It's like when basketball players go to the free throw line, we give them percentages like, oh, he's a 60%, he's a 75%, he's an 85%. And to me, I don't get it, because when you shoot a free throw in basketball, it's called free money. And sometimes basketball players shoot bricks. That means they're horrible at the free throw line. And you always want to have your good people. But the thing is, Michael Jordan kept shooting, and he kept shooting. And he set all these records, and Pistol Pete and Caitlin Clark, my new hero. Y'all know who I'm talking about when I say Caitlin Clark? The woman, a woman played for Iowa that just signed the big, well, it's a ridiculous NBA contract for the women, but all her endorsements. She signed a $20 million deal with Nike this week. She's got her own tennis shoe coming out. I think she's going to be okay. But you know what? You keep shooting. You keep going. You keep doing. I don't know, folks. Just combat your failure. Overcome. You've got power. 2 Timothy 1:7. I don't know if this verse is going to come up, but I want you to hear it. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And one translation says, of sound mind. Did you know in Jesus Christ, you have the mind of Jesus Christ? Isn't that right? And you know what I pray every single morning? Sometimes I pray all through the day. Lord Jesus, guard my mind in peace. And then I pray, and Jesus, would you guard my heart in peace? And he does. You know why? Because he cares. Because he's stable. Because he's able. Because he wants to. How many of you pray those kind of prayers? God, ground me in the word. God, grow me in the grace of Jesus. God, guide my steps. I know you're like, you're preaching again. You're doing all them G words. That's what preachers do. We like to alliterate. All right, keep going. So God, give us power. Take her. Here's what the Apostle Paul would say. Take all your thoughts captive to Jesus. When you do that, you overcome any failure. Because when you fail and you're looking at the grade or you're looking at the situation, you're like, everybody walked in the room and say, assess this. They go, failure. But give that to Jesus. Let him take control. Because I find that you do more. You accomplish more. He's just that kind of God. He's just that great. So, Lord, we redirect our thoughts. And I'm thinking about, man, what are your thoughts today? Here's a thought. Write it down. Replace the lies the enemy tells you with the truth of God's word. See, you can't replace lies if you don't know what the truth is. And you don't know the truth unless you're reading and studying and memorizing and reflecting on God's word. But when you know what the truth is and what God has declared, then you can rise up past failures and fears or any situation because you've decided to be a person of truth. And the church said, that's right. And that's what's wrong with our culture. There's fake news. There's all these lies. There's all these distortions. There's these half-truths. And a half-truth is just a lie. And it's like, no, man, but God, we want to focus. We want to replace that, Lord, with your truth. Lord, I want your approval. That's what we want. Here's a great thought. Spiritual warfare begins in our minds. How many of you believe that? In our mind. That's where it begins. Our mind is so powerful. We think great thoughts. We do great things. But in our mind, what do you think Satan comes to attack? Your mind. That's why you got to renew it. The Apostle Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of what? Your appetite. He said, your mind. Renew your thought life. God, help me and my friends renew. The greatest spiritual battle is fought between my ears. It's my brain. God, give us the brain, the mind of Christ. Help us to be connected to that, to tether ourselves to it. Help us to believe what you say, Lord, because our flesh is fearful. How many of you would agree with me this morning that your flesh is fearful? Let's just do this because I love for y'all to participate. What are some things that today people at the table are afraid of? That fear has tried to come, and maybe it's done a pretty good job, but maybe today you're going to break loose. How many of you today you would say, I am fearful in blank. I'm fearful for blank. Just give me some things you're fearful for today. Just say it loud. Leadership, okay? You're fearful for leadership. Safety in our city, because our city is extremely chaotic. The Bible would call it lawlessness. It's the wild, wild west, you know, shooting and killing and people being injured, innocent people riding in front of Eastdale Mall the other day. A woman Donnie used to work out with was shot. She's paralyzed this morning. Life, that was just ridiculous what happened to her. All right, what else? So we're fearful for our lives. We're fearful for leadership. What is something else fears trying to take root, but it didn't have to? What is it? How about your health? You ever get fearful in your health? Sure. I mean, if you've got an illness or you've got a sickness or you've dealt with cancer, or you're dealing with cancer, or you're dealing with diabetes or heart disease or gout or I could just name all kinds of stuff. You're just dealing with something, and fear comes in. You think, man, what am I going to do with this? Give it to Jesus. Offer it up to him. He knows. All right, fearful of your finances. You know, they might not be adequate. You know, how many of you have been to the grocery store and your dollar shrunk? You ever walked out with those two little pitiful bags and you go, what? I spent that much money? That's all I got? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I remember this. I remember when Don and I, when we first got married, you'll love this. We would go to the grocery store, and we didn't have a calculator. We had this. Don had this little manual thing, and we could do it. And you would enter in the money, and we had to go through the grocery store. Sometimes we had to put stuff back because we didn't have but X number of dollars. And we walked through the grocery, and it's really sad. What we had for our weekly budget to do everything, we're spending a meal now. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, one meal. You used to be able to do a whole week. And so you go to grocery store, you ever got fearful when you went to grocery store? Like, oh my goodness, what are y'all doing here? Having a party in the back? It's too much money. How about when you pull up to the gas pump? Didn't you just sing praises to Jesus? Man, that pump just keeps going and going and going and going. Like, whoa, I'm going to get me a bicycle. I don't know. All right, here it is. Somebody else. Anybody else got something here? Fearful, but you get grounded in God's word. Look at the five R's. Five R's to renew your mind. I'm going to land this plane in a little bit, but I'm trying to help you through failure as we look at it. Five R's. Number one, recognize. Recognize. Does it sound like the truth of the word? God, is this your voice? Is this what your word states? Is this what your word teaches? Lord, am I accused in this situation? Is this affirming to me in faith? Lord, I know your heart. I know your voice. The Bible says the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Lord, I know. I'm going to recognize your voice. I'm going to recognize truth when I run into it. Number two, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go in a new direction, Lord. My only option here is really to change, because I've gotten misdirected. I've been misguided. I've chosen my flesh over the spirit, man. God, I want to repent. Man, that's always a great place. Repentance is God's heart. Three, I'm going to, and I said this over and I'm going to say it again, you're going to replace the lie with the truth of God's word. That's why I keep trying to make a case this morning for one thing, for this book, to dwell in it daily, to spend time in it, to reflect it, to read it, to study it, to say, Lord, I want this to be the delight of my soul. I want to delight in your word. I want it to be the meal that I have to have. Like, we like a good meal, don't we? Yeah, I mean, we enjoy eating a good meal. And some places you go back because that was a better meal than that place. But how about the meal of God's word? It nourishes the soul. It nourishes the inner man. It gives guidance to the simple. It gives leadership to the soul. It gives peace for the journey. It gives us the heart of the Father. God's word is eternal. Remember when I told you, I've told you this many times, I told you not long ago, there's two things that last forever. What were they? The souls of men and women and the word of God. It's eternal. The ancient paths, the ancient ways of God. So here it is. Repent, replace. Look at four. We reinforce. God, what does your truth say? I want it to be reinforced, Lord. And that's why I love Christian music so much. It so many times it reinforces the truth of what God's word's already said. And it get, because have you ever noticed when you learn a song, it seems, you know, so I remember we used to teach our kids this. We'd teach them scripture songs a lot of times, and it had a catchy tune, but they'd get, Steve Green, you remember that, Dan? He was a genius at it. I can still hear these little, I can see those little cassette tapes at our house. And Donna, what was that other one? It was called Salty the Songbook or something. You know, he's a little singing. He's kind of weird, to be honest with you. But I loved it because he was getting God's word into kids. And the truth was, he was getting God's word into us too. There's all kind of ways. God, help us just to love your word, to reinforce what the scripture says. And like, here it is. I bet people at the table do this. I bet if I came in your house, some of your houses, and I walked over to your kitchen counter, how many of you would have a placard, a scripture card, a scripture calendar, or there'd be something in your kitchen? Any of you? If not, I recommend that. Those are great things just to have God's word. Every time you wash a dish, every time you walk in there. I always loved it with Donna's mom. She loved these calendars. We'd give her calendars, and she had this one after she died. I told her, I said, Jan, I want that one. I mean, I could go buy my own, but I wanted hers. I loved it. And I bet I read that thing over and over. And I just loved it. I'd see those, a Chuck Swindoll scripture thing or something. And I just loved it because I'd see those scriptures. But what really thrilled me was, I knew she was seeing it every day. And it was peace for her soul and her journey. So there's ways, there's a lot of ways we can rehearse truth. Just ask God, help me to restate or re-see your truth over and over. Hey, it's music in your car. How many of you feel your cars and your cars is a, it's like, it's not as good as having Linda and Pat, but it's pretty cool. And you're riding down the road and you're just giving praise. I just want to give a little tip. When you're doing that, put your hands on the steering wheel. I mean, you know, if you let go, just make sure your knees are able to take the steering wheel, okay? We don't have any teenagers, so I can say that. If there were teenagers, I wouldn't say that. Oh, man, I'm putting my makeup on, and I'm having a sandwich, and I'm driving with my knees. Like, yeah, I know. That's what's scaring me, you know? How many of y'all drive with your knees? Okay, all right, keep going. I have. They don't have a law about that, do they? They just say, don't hold your phone. They don't say anything about knees. I think I've missed it here. Okay. Huh? Coffee, that's a tool of the devil. All right, let's keep going. All right, five. Rejoice in your new normal. Praise Him. Rejoice. Lord, if we're going to renew our mind, we got to praise the one that is worthy, and His name is King Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you. We came to the table today because we wanted to lift high the name of Jesus. That's why we're here. Today, after I preached last week about the buddy bench, I had somebody come to me and says, man, I'm going right now. I'm calling a buddy. And I'm not here today. Maybe the weather got him. I don't know. But they caught the concept. I pray that we'll fill our buddy benches up. Right now, we got a buddy row back right there, okay? Let's fill that row up next week. And the church said, okay, invite somebody. Bring them. Pat will take you down the hall and show you donuts and coffee. Right, Pat? We know how to do it. But we want to bless you. God, we want to have our minds renewed because we know that fear is a spiritual force. But greater is He that is in us and He that is in the world. So, Lord, babies enter this world and they know about fear and failure from the very start. But we try to coach them along the way to embrace the Lord Jesus. The fear of failure is powerful, and it becomes an obstacle and a barrier to so many people in the journey called life. So today, I don't know what I'm going to fail at next. I assure you, I'm going to fail some. I got a lot of failures. I could fill up a notebook with failures. I really could. I've had a lot of successes and victories, and I give praise to my Almighty King. But I've done a lot of experiments walking with God in ministry over the years. So you don't know if something's going to work till you do it, and then when it fails, you can go home and do nothing, or you can get back up and try something else. Hello? And so failure can be good. How many believe that God can use failure in huge ways? I mean, if people don't fail, Theodore Roosevelt, what did he say? You ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting around playing it safe. Did you know it's in the heart of God to take risk, to step out? What did he tell Peter one day? Peter, stay in the boat. Not what it says. What did he tell him, Nancy? Get out, boy. Time to walk. Time to put your eye. And what happened? He was doing pretty good until he got prideful. And he got his eyes off Jesus. Wow, that's a message we'll preach for another day. All right, let's do this real quick. Let me see. I got a little bit of time. I don't have to land it quite yet. All right, so here it is. So passion, desire to be grounded in God's word. Will you choose today to confront any fears that are limiting you in your life? See, God has called us to a choice-driven life in Him. And God, we want to make a choice to follow after you. Because God, when we follow after you, we win. Look at this remind. Remind me that we're in Christ. Father, remind me I'm in your Son. That is my position. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in Jesus, they are a new creation. The old has gone. And it says period. No, it doesn't. The new has come. You fail? Okay, you failed. There's another step. Get back up. Overcome in Christ. I love it. Matter of fact, sometimes it's kind of cool when people, have you ever known people that just like everything they do is so easy? It's not like they have no failures. It doesn't even seem fair, does it? But then do you know some people that have had a hard time, but they kept rising back up in the strength of Jesus Christ, and they kept overcoming, and they didn't let fear paralyze them, and they didn't let failure define them, and they said, the grace of God will, and they somehow overcame, and at the end of their life, they had accomplished mighty things in the power of Jesus. I admire those testimonies. And the world's filled with them. I pray it's our story. Lord, we want to rejoice. We want to be reminded that we're new in Christ, that we choose you today. Hey, is anybody getting encouraged about failure today? I mean, that's the whole goal, is to let you know you're a failure. Your pastor said, I am a failure. Hey, say that out loud. I am a failure. Sounds like a meeting I want to be in. Hi, my name's Keith. I'm a failure. Sounds like we're having an AA meeting. But here's what I want to say, the other part. I am a child of the Most High God. I am an overcomer in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm overwhelmed by the victory in the grace of Christ. I am blank. I am the light of the world. Hello? Truth. You replace the lie with truth. Okay. All right. So here it is. I like this Ecclesiastes 7:20. In the Good News translations, Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this: there's no one on earth who does what is right all the time. I like that verse. And never makes a mistake. So the next time you see somebody prideful, arrogant, and full of themselves, you tell them, you make mistakes too. You just hide them better. You just seem to have more victories than we have. But all people make mistakes, but they don't have to define us. So as you make a mistake, give it to God. Ask him to help you overcome, to realizing that you need the grace of Christ. That you say, Jesus, grip my life. Just grip me. Take over. Lord, show me how to be the man, the woman that you've called me to be. Because, Lord, I want to choose you today. I want to choose Christ. All right. I'm almost there. You're saying, oh, praise the Lord, but okay, all right. So remind us that we're in Christ, that we have revelation, we have clarity in him. I want to give you a little psalmist, the 34th psalm. I love the psalms. And as I get there, will you choose today to confront any fears that limit you? That's a question. It's on the screen right now. Would you write that down? Will you choose today to confront the fears that limit you? See, we've all identified that we have fears, did we not? We said yes. So let's identify, let's come to grips with it and say, yes, it's limited me to this point, but it will not define me. Jesus will. And man, then you're victorious in the Son of the Most High God. But if you let fear define you, you're probably done. You're probably not going to do a lot more. I like to be around people. I like to be around failures that rise back up. They've got resilience in the spirit. But the psalmist 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. That's what God says. Look to Jesus. You radiate the Son of the Most High God. You know, that's what I pray for all of you and myself, that more than anything, people will see the reflection of Christ in your life. Galatians 6:4, each of you must examine your own actions, and then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Don't compare yourself to the person next to you. Compare yourself to the Word of God and say, God, I want my actions to be pleasing. Help me, Lord. Give me the power. Give me the confidence in you. And I think Christ will help you overcome failure.